This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Whakataka te hau ki te uru, whakataka te hau ki te tonga. Kia mākina kina ki uta, kia mātaratara ki tai. He hi ake ana te atakura, he tio, he huka, he hauhu, tihei mauri ora.
Oh, I can still see it.
Beautiful girl. Absolutely beautiful, Mum.
Just what happened to her is so sad.
Mo te kohurutanga o Janet Moses.
Janet Moses died during a Marcus
killing a young mum during an exorcism ceremony.
This has been a very controversial case.
They genuinely believed there was something malignant within her.
Our girl was in danger. You don't do those things. You don't muck around with mouldy things.
You can't just act on bizarre beliefs and kill someone and nothing's done about it.
Over the last 200 years, there's been a process of colonization. It's important to hold fast to traditional Maori beliefs.
But if you don't know the language and the protocol and you do it the wrong way, well, that's what happens.
Get out! Get out of here!
You cannot have her!
We were a close family and we always get together to solve our problems.
Go with peace and love.
Stuck in a room for 5 days with no sleep. Chanting, stomping.
Hysteria is a not uncommon state.
No, 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 no!
It's a life and death thing, isn't it?
We love you, girl.
You can just imagine the pressure, the fear, the panic. It comes down to your love for that person.
Go with peace and love!
Come on, Bruno!
To stay there and to endure it.
No, we just love our family so much, you know.
A family who loved their daughter and were trying to save her. And so that was kind of like their motivation, was to express that. And so that the audience can see that how sometimes when you love hard or too much, things can go wrong. And this is what happened in this case.
So great to speak to you about something that is a pretty amazing and very interesting film, The Possession of Janet Moses. And you are David Stubbs, the director.
You know, we finished the film a year ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
And for the last, I haven't had to talk about it much recently, so it's been the first time I've spoken about it.
Wow, okay.
For a while, so I'll be a bit rusty, but just see how we go.
No worries. So it was released a year ago, or first screened or completed a year ago? I guess it says 2015.
Yeah, it was first screened. Yeah, first screened, the New Zealand premiere was a year ago. The Melbourne Festival is the international premiere.
So, firstly, of course, it's a very big subject. It's for many Australians who might be listening to this, or anyone outside of New Zealand who will be listening to this interview. Can you just briefly explain what belief the possession of Janet Moses is?
Yeah, so this is a film about a real incident that happened in 2007 in a small town in New Zealand, same town that I was actually raised in, up in, and my parents still live there. There were reports of a woman having died in unusual circumstances in a small house in the valley of Wainuiomata. Pretty quickly, the rumour went around that she'd died in the exorcism ceremony, which in itself is pretty unusual, but the story got stranger and stranger when there were reports that she'd drowned in the house, that the house was full of water, you know, up to the windows in water, that there were dozens of people involved in this ceremony, and the other people had also been exorcised and were near death as well. So it was a story that just kept getting bigger and bigger and more bizarre. And the truth was that everyone that was involved in that incident had the same story about what had happened. That they were saying that this young woman and other people had been possessed by a demon, and that they were fighting that demon for 3 days and three nights in that small house. I decided to investigate, really, because it was one of those subjects that, because of the cultural association, so this is a Māori family, a lot of people were reluctant to go there to talk about it, to find out what happened. Mm. And certainly the family themselves closed ranks, and really even the court case was so long, and eight people were charged with the death of Janet, the woman that died. The court case was so long and complex and bizarre that no one really got their head around it. Even the media kind of struggled to kind of figure out what was going on. Mm. And so I looked for the story. I looked to find out what had happened and try and bring some understanding to this bizarre case. And that was how the film started. And it was, for all of us involved in this production, a monumental kind of endeavour, and a very dark time and also a very wonderful time. So I think the film will surprise a lot of people when they see it. I think it's like nothing you've ever seen before. And I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, it's sort of blurs the line a little bit, I guess, the aesthetic of it. Like, it's beautifully shot, it's very cinematic, and perhaps that will be something a bit different than the normal kind of documentary as such, more docudrama, I guess. And that immediately engages the viewer, certainly, drew me in. I mean, apart from, I'm from New Zealand originally, and growing up, used to hear of certain things, mysterious Māori business, basically, that people didn't talk openly about, especially something like makutu.
Yes.
For yourself, what was that like to explore something that is so mysterious and culturally sensitive?
It was something that I at first probably naively went into. Like most New Zealanders, didn't quite understand what makutu was, and makutu being what this family believed was the curse upon their family and this particular woman. And trying to find out what it is also very hard. Māori won't talk about it because it's looked down upon, and when the Christian missionaries arrived in this country, they tried to get rid of all these sort of spiritual cultural beliefs and replace them with Christianity. And so a lot of Māori don't talk about it because it's frowned upon. It's also become mixed up with Christian beliefs as well. And so when I started making this film, I had Māori saying, you should really, you need to do this carefully and protect yourself. And I had Christians saying, possession is real, the devil's real, So there was a sense of danger around it, I suppose, and mystery right throughout. And so, immediately meant that I was up against people not wanting to talk about it.
No, it must have been pretty quite a trial for you to just stay focused and, I guess, do the job of this depiction and the unusual story that it is.
Mm. Yeah, well, trying to find a balance between, I didn't want it to be an investigation. I just wanted to find out what had happened, and I didn't want to lay blame. I just wanted to, find the truth. And so the people involved in the exorcism or the failed cleansing of Janet were always honest, and they all told the same story all the way through, giving evidence in court, and to this day they will tell you that she was possessed by a demon, and that they saw a thing in that house that they cannot explain, and that they were trying to save her. And I don't think in the end the courts, the police, or anyone that knows anything about the story believes anything other than they genuinely believe they're trying to save her from something that had possessed her. And that really, over three or four nights in that house, they too became possessed by something. Mm-hmm. That's a spiritual thing or a hysteria thing. That's what the audience gets to decide, I guess, when they watch the film.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that, again, I think a lot of people won't be familiar with, but I'm certainly hoping they'll go along because the performances are, the reenactments, the performances, It still has that drama, and they're pretty amazing. Where did you find the people that could play these roles? Because these are, you know, obviously people who are, one of whom is deceased, and, you know, all these other characters are real people. How did you manage to get the casting going for that?
Yeah, it was a difficult film to cast because we had to cast Māori with Māori actors, and most Māori actors believe in the kinds of spiritual things that we're suggesting in this film, and that the Janet's family believed in as well. So we had to go into the story with a sense of trying to express that we believed the family loved Janet, and that this was a crime of love rather than a crime of malice. And so the actors went in trying to authentically portray a family who loved their daughter and were trying to save her. And so that was kind of like their motivation, was to express that, and so that the audience can see that how sometimes when you love hard or too much, things can go wrong, and this is what happened in this case.
Mm. Yes, it could have gone very wrong, as it's shown in the film for a number of the other people in the house. But it is a tragedy to, obviously, to have lost this woman, this mother, this sister, cousin, to this family. It must be a huge gap in their life. For now and forever, I should imagine. Has anyone of the family seen the film?
Yes. So you know, there are two sides to the family. There's the Janet's maternal side and her paternal side, and so her father's side have seen the film. We had a screening for them, and they appreciated the film. They, because of the confusion and around what really happened, and I think everyone likes to see that you know that. That this death was an accident, and it came from a place of love, and that there was genuine belief that there was a possession of him taking place. The side of the family that were actually responsible for Janet's death, I mean, the people that were in the house and their relatives, some of them had seen the film. They didn't want to participate in the film. I guess they had no reason to trust me when I was making the film. But, I know some of them have seen it, and I haven't had direct feedback from them, but I made it always with the idea that I needed to be able to take that film and show it to them and be able to stand up beside it and say, you know, I hope you're okay with this. I've tried to tell your story truthfully, and I believe that you believe.
Mm. Yes, well, I think, you've done an amazing job as far as it's very creative. It's like I said, very draws you in. It's very engaging. And I think people will find something quite unique in this story. Hopefully it'll open up some discussion too, I guess, about spirituality and culture, and I guess the modern so-called modern world that we do exist in, and those conflicts that still can arise and occur. So
yes, I mean, this could easily be a story about a Catholic family, or any kind of cultural religious background, because something was happening to Janet, and their reaction and their response was based on their beliefs, and we all have beliefs. And I think what I wanted to show is that this isn't a story about a Māori family in a New Zealand context. This is a story about a family, a bunch of humans, and what happens to a bunch of people when they're faced with what appears to be one of their own and in danger from some mysterious spiritual presence, which is what she told them was going on. And, you know, since making this film, I've had plenty of people, European, Māori, all kinds of races, tell me of similar experiences within their families with people that they've loved, you know, and it generally doesn't end in a death. But we're often faced with people we love behaving strangely, and is it possession, or is it some sort of psychosis, or is it something else? That's the question.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Yeah. Is it mental health, or mental unwellness, and those sort of conditions? There was a case in Victoria in the 90s where a young woman was possessed, and it was from a white Christian family, and she died as well. This was yeah, a good 20-something years ago. Yeah. I saw a play, actually, that was about it, and it was very, yeah, it was incredibly dramatic, obviously, and very powerful and incredibly sad, because it did look like it was a mental health and unwellness condition. And we see it all the time. I mean, you see it in horror films, you see it, you know, in the fictional realm. But when it happens, I guess, in the real world, it's in the world that we live in, it's always breathtaking that something like this occurs today. But it does, you know, all part, like you said, any part of the world will have remnants. Echoes of
history's full of it, and we're all capable of being pulled into something like this, given certain circumstances. You know, and this family were pulled into it because they had certain beliefs. They hadn't. They were trying to save her, so they weren't sleeping. They were stuck in this small space, all working together, trusting their faith, trusting their leaders. And, you know, like I said, 3 days and three nights of that. You know, with your reasoning at that point.
Yes. Do we know the family? Do you know very much about the family now? Are they cohesive? Are they still, you know, together?
Yeah, well, as far as I know, they're a very tight and loving family, and I believe they still are, and they still live in that community quietly, and they're trying to get on with their lives, you know. But of course, this hangs over them.
I'm not sure about that beeping thing. Sorry. Are you getting the beep? Oh, there you go. There's the beep. To be doing. Yes, so as we were saying, the belief, the possession of Janet Moses, a docudrama. It's screening, of course, at MIFF and the 1st of August at 9 p.m. for the Melbourne International Film Festival. Jump on miff.com.au/program for Belief, the Possession of Janet Moses. It's a very unique, interesting film. It runs deep. It's very emotional. And I've never seen anything on the screen like that. So, David Stubbs, well done on an amazing and difficult job making this film.
Thank you. Yeah, I really want to encourage people to go see it, because I guess on the surface, some people might think it's a horror film. Some people might think it's a documentary. It's somewhere in between. It really is something a bit different, and that was informed by the story. And informed by the way we had to approach something which is at one end kind of horrifying and confronting, and at the other end kind of beautiful, because it's a love story turned bad, you know. And we really wanted to show how a family could have the fear within a family could lead to someone's death. And so, for me, the film's about the audience experiencing what they experienced, going through the days and nights.
The beeping.
Exhaustion.
Yes. That beeping is starting again. I don't like the sound of that. I'll have to wrap it up.
Both sessions have been a Q&A.
Oh, are you? Oh, good. Okay. I'll correct that. Look, thank you so much. I'm going to have to leave it, because I've got a feeling it's going to hang up on us again.
Okay. That's fine.
But thank you. Thank you, David.
Unuhia, unuhia, unuhia ki te uru tapu nui, kia wātea, kia māmā, te ngākau, te tīnana, te wairua i te aratangata. Koia rā e rongo, whakairi ake ki runga, kia tīna, tīna, hui e, tāi ki e.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.